Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan, and I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody, on Electoral College Day here in the nation. It's Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up.
That's right. Brought to you in part by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice, along with Senegenics and Dr. Julie McCallum. Lot to talk about today. We're going to be bringing on, first off, a gentleman by the name of Nate Orman, and he's a hero to me, and we'll let him explain what he's doing. And it's sort of these little things, and I think that's kind of where we are, little things and big things.
Little revolts, little fighting the man.
Exactly. Add up.
Never giving in to this horrific Democratic Party
machine. Right, yeah, we're going to have it 3:30 then.
Criminals.
You know, Chuck, calm down. No, I know. John Conlon.
You want to say hello to our good friends at the Colorado Times Recorder, Jason Saltzman. He seems to listen to every one of our shows. It's so special. And then he writes some snarky little thing in there that goes to Colorado Polls, and our numbers shoot up.
Yeah.
It's just so great.
Thanks for the downloads.
We just kind of go, wow, did you see our ratings just shot up again? It must be Jason Saltzman saying snarky, underhanded things, which he loves to do, of course, most famous for crooking a contest and not awarding a winner. Back in the Obama days. But so he fits right in today's Democratic Party.
We've got Nathan. But before we get to Nathan, too, I also want to say John Conlon coming on. A lot going on. Don't pay any attention to the mainstream media. It is not over till January 20th. A lot of things going on. Some very revealing and disturbing, I'm going to go with fast and say alarming, information coming out of the Michigan judge who released the audit on the Dominion voting machines. We knew it, right? But this it's just more evidence of that.
Let's go to Nate Orman. Nate is holding a kind of a rebellion there down
it's
in
Taco
Castle
Tuesday
Rock.
Every day.
Taco Tuesday every day. Nate, are you there?
I am. Good afternoon.
Hey, thank you for joining us. So, like, we gather from talking to some friends of ours that you are sponsoring a unique form of rebellion, and you're turning every day into Taco Tuesday at our favorite place, the Tri-County Health Department there in Castle.
Well, let him tell us about it.
What's going on?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I decided I was going to hold a restaurant rally week. There are four small restaurants in the Ecclesia Marketplace, one of which is Romo Street Tacos. And so we made it Romo Street Tacos today. We're going to do Fish and Company tomorrow, Brit Stop on Wednesday, and Garlic and Spice on Thursday. So we take the orders over at the restaurants, and we shuttle people and food over to Tri-County Health Department and have a little protest and play some good old American music in front of them, and just let them know that we're not going to go quiet.
That's great. How'd you come up with this idea?
Yeah, so I was actually, I just grabbed some lunch from Susan at Brit Stop on Friday and was talking to her while she was making the food, and she had mentioned that she had to lay off all her staff and she was working 14 hours a day just to try to keep her place open. I just got really upset about that idea. So at night, went and printed up a bunch of flyers and spent Saturday and Sunday passing them out. There's another restaurant that had a tragedy when their servers had succumbed to despair and passed away, due to not being able to make money and support himself and his family. And so that happened last week. That was another restaurant. That restaurant was basically on the edge of shutting down. And so Saturday just kind of rallied an impromptu little gathering there at this restaurant, just wandered around and posted things on social media. And we ended up getting over 200 people there and generated about $4,000. And so it just seemed to be kind of the beginning, I guess, is probably the way to say that.
So
how can people help out
and find out? Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. So you can go on Facebook and you can search for the hashtag uh, uh, BL the M, Breakfast, Lunch, and Dinner Matter. You can look for the restaurant rally that we're having. We're going to do it again tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. They show up at the Ecclesia Marketplace on 221 Perry Street between noon and 1. We take their order, and then they come over and they hold a little rally and a little protest with me over at Tri-County, which is over at 410 Wilcox, so just down the road. It's about a two-minute drive from the restaurants.
You know, and that, let's talk about that a little, because I know we've kept in touch with the guy up in Lyons, Colorado, at the yep. Lyons Den. There was a rally yep. there. They've been rallying there. They've closed him down. They take away his license. They take away other things. Yep. It's, I mean, based on, I mean, as far as we know, we have a friend who says, who's in government stuff, and he said there's no authorization for the liquor code to allow you to go in and take someone's liquor.
But doesn't matter.
We're
not in lawless times.
We're not in America anymore. Yeah, yeah, it's there's absolutely no evidence to suggest that people are getting COVID at restaurants any more than they are any place else.
And if they did get COVID, 99%, 99.8%
are
just fine. The rest of the people, mostly if they go in early enough and get treatment, they're fine.
And, you know, and Nate, here, I don't know how you feel about that, but let me tell you what I think. I think one of the reasons they're picking on restaurants are, number one, because they have so many licensing requirements. They can attack them any number of ways. And if you've got a local government that doesn't go along, they can attack them from the state level. We heard that they've thrown ATF agents at some of this in some places. And I think the other thing they want to do is they want to prevent us from getting together. They want to keep us scared. They want to keep us separate. They want to make us feel isolated so that we don't talk to like-minded people. And we can't say that this is why it's so great what you're doing. It's like, hey, wait a minute. We're not going to put up with this.
Well, Nate, tell how many people came today to your rally?
Yeah, so we fulfilled over 90 orders today. They did $900 in tips and $750 in sales. I cover the meals. And then whoever shows up, if they want a tip, they can tip. The tips go right to the staff.
So you paid for it all. You paid for the entire meal.
I paid for it all. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Wow,
yeah,
what a guy.
Exactly right.
What a guy.
It's a free lunch. Yeah, so you guys come in for free lunch Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And if you want a tip, you just tip cash to the staff, and they'll appreciate it. I mean, they need it. It's Christmas time, right? They've got families.
Yeah,
they've got kids
not?
To support. They got a business to support. So, yeah, the money goes straight to them.
Wow. But you know, and did the folks of the Tri-County Health Department come out at all to tell
see the
you?
People they rule over?
No, of course not. So I call them the Tri-County Stealth Department because they're going around taking pictures of people, you know, maybe not wearing their mask right in a restaurant and shutting them down. They've shut down three restaurants, one license, actually. One owner owned three restaurants. They saw a violation in one of his restaurants, so they shut all three of his restaurants down.
Right. We had somebody was telling us Sam's number three. Yes, and it's not just them. It's all over the place, right? The Denver, the Sam's Number Three, which is a massively popular restaurant, they got shut down. I guess they've opened up now, but because they were violating some kind of ventilation code, and what they were upset
they wouldn't tell them how to comply.
They wouldn't even tell them what they were doing wrong.
Whenever we get back in power, and that may be never, we have to relook at our public health agencies. I mean, these people, I always thought of them as innocuous do-gooders. Now I just see them as autocratic creeps, and we ought to fire them. Fire them all. You know, it's
well, let's talk about that ventilation for a second. Like, you go to the View House, and they've built a plastic, unventilated tent structure outside their other structure. They can have people in that four walls at a roof, plastic, unventilated, but they can't have people inside the four walls that were already there. For some reason, that is ventilated. How does that make sense?
Yeah,
right.
And the big boys like Gaylord get a variance. Isn't that nice? Special variance for the rich boys.
For sure. You can eat inside the airport, right?
Yeah.
Good point.
Yep. One in five restaurants is closed for good. So we're not even talking temporary closures now. One in five restaurants in the entire United States is out of business for good. They expect another 70,000 to be gone by the end of this month. And, you know, I don't own a restaurant. I don't do anything except for eat at these guys' restaurants and establishments. And they're my friends. They're my neighbors. And I just want to try to help them out.
So what do you do?
Yeah.
To be kind enough to buy everybody a meal.
Yeah, sure. So I founded a medical finance company called Well States Healthcare based in Castle Rock, Colorado, 10 years ago. I've run it for the last 10 years. I moved to Castle Rock 20 years ago when I drove through. I thought I was driving into a Norman Rockwell painting, and I just want to save that sense of community, I guess, that sense of small town Americana.
Well, we're talking with Nate Orman, who's going to buy you your lunch tomorrow if you'll come down to Castle Rock to
support restaurants.
What street is it? Are these restaurants all on?
221 Perry Street. It's called the Ecclesia Marketplace. Four restaurants are in the same place. Fish and Company is tomorrow. Brit Stop is on Wednesday. Garlic and Spice is on Thursday. And if you missed it, we did have Taco Tuesday on Monday today at Romo Street Tacos. But support them all. You can support them anytime. But tomorrow, I'll buy your lunch.
Well, what are people saying to you when you talk to people there? Because I have a feeling this is my hope for the country, and that is these unelected bureaucrats and the tyrannical bureaucrats
are
hitting people where it hurts. So my sense is we're talking to people, at least I am, who they're not political. They're just saying, wait a minute, this is America, and we've got some unelected bureaucrat for no reason picking and choosing and saying this place can stay open, but I have to shut down. And
unless you have some in with the governor, then you get a variance.
Right, then you get a variance. I mean, but so I'm seeing, though, people, how do I say it? It's not about Trump. It's not about not Trump. It's about fighting for their rights and their freedoms that you would think, who would have thought a year ago, right, that we'd be at this place where some unelected bureaucrat is just shutting down tens of thousands of businesses across this country. I mean, are you seeing that from people, too, that they're just fed up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, the biggest commentary is around the hypocrisy, right? So you have an L.A. County supervisor who says that dining outdoors is the most dangerous thing you can do right now as it relates to COVID. And 2 hours later is dining outdoors, right? You have California Governor Newsom. Obviously, we all know that story. And our own Denver mayor said, don't travel for Thanksgiving, right before he boarded a plane to travel for Thanksgiving. If they all thought it was really that dangerous, if it was all about the health, they wouldn't do that. They'd be too terrified to go do that. But it's not about that. It's about a power grab.
And people
can see right through it. There's too many examples. On the back of our postcards we've been handing out, we have a COVID hypocrisy quote of the day that I put on there. I had so many of those. I had to cut the number of times where we've seen a politician who has said one thing and done another. So it's, do as I say, not as I dine, as far as those guys are concerned.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. If they thought this was that what they were doing actually helped and the people were in danger, including themselves, they wouldn't just fly off to Houston and Mississippi.
Well, they wouldn't eat at the airport. And that, like you said, you can eat it. He probably had McDonald's or something at the airport, sat and ate at the airport.
Right. Grabbed a bite, the other thing that we saw was, New York City, from the very beginning, has required their restaurants, if they were going to stay open, to contact trace. They got to get names. Mm-hmm. They got to get phone numbers. All of that data is sitting there. And why won't they release the data to show us that there's been this terrible upsurge in COVID illnesses and deaths as a result of the restaurants? They've got the data. They've been contact tracing this entire time. And the reason why is it's not there. I think it's like less than 2% of the COVID cases are coming from restaurants. Again, if it was real, if it was true, if they were that afraid, they'd release the data and they'd prove to us why we have to shut down.
I see a tide shifting, hopefully, that, you got Bill Gates on there. I guess he's happy that no one's asking about Jeffrey Epstein these days. But he goes on and says, this is going to be at least,
2022.
I mean, I do own a pharmaceutical company and all, but, this could be years before we can do this. And I think there's a shift where people, at least that's what I sense, and I hope, that people are starting to say, no, I'm going to support my local business. I'm not going to buy this anymore.
Yeah, I think, that was one of the biggest questions that people were coming up today while we were there. What can we do? How do we end this, right? And one of our state representatives, Patrick Neville, was there, and he basically said, that the government governs at the consent of the governed, right? And they're starting to take away that consent. And as we put more and more pressure on them, and as we call out the hypocrisy, and as we band together and come together and support each other, these restaurants, they can't operate by supplying outdoor dining when it's 12 degrees as it was last week a couple of times, right? And yet we had 90 people come out today for an hour, kind of stand around in the cold. But they ate. They had fun. We listened to some good music. We were there in front of Tri-County. Hopefully they took notice. And hopefully I have, you know, 190 people there tomorrow and 290 on Wednesday and 390 or 1,090. I don't really care. Just as many people as possible. And let's just show them that, you know, we're not just going to sit back and take it anymore.
Right.
So we're talking to Nate Orman. He's a businessman in Castle Rock who's decided to buy you your lunch. All you need to do
support
is
the restaurant. Go down to Castle Rock.
Go down to Castle Rock. Go to 221 Perry Street, and he'll buy you your lunch. You just take it, and then you get to go over, and with a lot of like-minded people, go over to the Tri-County Health, which is a few blocks away, have lunch, listen to music, and express yourself as an American. I think it's a wonderful thing you're doing, Nate. Wonderful thing.
That's exactly right. Thank you very much. Yeah, 12 to 1 tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. Just when you show up, you're going to see a tent outside. We really didn't want to get those restaurants in trouble, so we take all the orders outside, and we make sure we have a couple of masked runners go down into the restaurants and place the orders that way, because we don't want the Tri-County Stealth Department, shutting them down, for an inadvertent violation, quote unquote. But yeah, come on out, 12 to 1, and I'll buy your lunch tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday.
All right.
That's great.
Nate,
thank you.
Thank you. Thank goodness for people like you. Appreciate everything you're doing.
Thank you, and God bless America.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Nate Orman there. And he said if you miss some of that, you can check out. It's going to be going on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
221 Perry Street
in Castle Rock. And Facebook, it's sort of hashtag BLDM, Breakfast, Lunch, and Dinners Matter. This is kind of my theory, and we'll be talking about this later, is I think that what we're seeing is a complete systematic failure. The system is failing us.
The system stinks. Do not believe the Republican chairman when he says your voting is fair, free. It's cheap.
Right.
And they stuff the ballots, and the Republicans who play along with them. I don't know. It's hard to figure out.
Let me give the phone number, because we've got about 15 minutes or so before John comes on. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. If you're on Zoom, the meeting number there is 209-576-423. 209-576-423. If you want to chime in, feel free to do so. Just unmute yourself. Let me give you a couple of updates what's going on in case you've been busy. One of the things we like to do is we keep track of it so you don't necessarily have to. So in three states, Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Georgia, what they did is the electors cast the provisional ballots for Donald Trump. The way I understand that, that's kind of a procedural kind of thing that at least keeps that out there.
And in Michigan, the governor got the state patrol to prevent Republicans from going in.
Right.
That's right.
The Georgia of Secretary of State that was calling for a signature audit in Cobb County in Georgia. And this, I think, one of the most interesting things. They did an audit of the Dominion vote system in one of the counties in Michigan. And then they tried to keep it secret. I'm going to tell a quick story. Many years ago when I worked at Channel 7, they did a morale survey of the people, of all of us, right? And then they refused to release it, so that sort of told you all you needed to know, right?
Well, I worked for a law firm in which they encouraged everyone. We had a luncheon. Everybody speak, you know, what's good and bad about the firm, any problems. You know, just lay it out. This is a chance to make, you know, the thing better. Took notes. Everyone who complained was fired.
Well, there you go. So we all know how that works. But a judge in Michigan ordered it released. And this is my very lay person's understanding of it. But typically in the counting, the machine counting, there's an error rate of like, kind of like COVID, 0.000019. But they found an error rate of more than 68%. So that, from what I understand, that meant that there was an error rate. And this, I think, with the absentee ballot, some 68%, there was an error rate. They said that this was intentionally created.
So they can go in and change the votes.
To create errors. And it was set up so that people had to go in and adjust. And once they went in and adjusted, now there's no audit trail. There's nothing there. And they point out that if this happened in this one county, that the same system, the same software, the same everything was being used in every other county. We have Dominion votes here. So, I mean, think about that. So what this audit found was that the Dominion system that they try to tell us is pure as the driven snow was specifically set up to come up with a 68% error rate, way, I mean, massively beyond the scope of what you would expect, so that they could go in then and deliberately, they could set them into the separate file and adjust them. And again, of course, they adjusted them all for Joe Biden. Here's what I think. Chuck and I were talking, and I said, here's my thing. You know, I've in my lifetime, I don't think it's taken, but I've read a lot of self-help books and things like that, right? I'm into that kind of stuff. And one of the things that they always tell you is when you're in a situation that you don't like, there's roughly three things you can do. One, you got to ask yourself, can I get out of this situation? Two, can I change the situation? And if you can't get out and if you can't change, then what you have to do is change your approach. And I think that's where we're at. I think we can't get out of the situation. I know some people talk about secession and things like that. Maybe, but I don't think that's going to happen in the next 2 years in time for the next election. I personally also don't think that's the answer.
I think it's the answer.
Okay, and that may be, yeah. But not in the near future, in the immediate future. Can you change the situation? I think one of the things that is, whether Donald Trump wins or loses, and I still think it's a long way from over, is that he has, in his own Donald Trump way, exposed the utter corruption of the system, the systematic corruption. The problem is, though, it's not going to change. I think, and you tell me what you think, Chuck, I think we're fooling ourselves if we think we're going to be able to convince the Democrats to take us back to one legal voter, one legal vote. They have changed the system. So I think, and this is what we'll talk a little bit with John Conlon about, we have to look at it differently. We have to say, okay, we have to change our approach. I think as Republicans, we need to do a bunch of things. And I don't know what all the answers are, but I think number one, we have to quit thinking of it as cheating. These are basically the new rules. The more we think of it as cheating, I think the more we're like, well, we just need to clean it up. They're not going to let us clean it up. They're just not going to. Well, all the stuff that we saw going on in this election, that's not going to become. That is the reality that we now live in. And as Republicans, I think we need to say, okay, this is a reality we live in. Let's figure out how to play by these rules. We need to absolutely quit playing by the other rules. The other thing we need to realize is that our Republican establishment leaders are not on our side. They want to keep things status quo because they're winning. They've got their piece of the pie.
They're not really winning, but they personally are winning. Yeah, personally.
Yeah, I mean, they have their piece of the pie and they want to keep it, right? The last thing they want us doing is raising our hands and saying, hey, wait, you know, you need to share that pie with all of your constituents. They're like, no, we don't. So we need to quit looking to them for leadership. And we need to do exactly the kind of stuff that Nate Orman is doing. We need to say, okay, so they've changed the rules. They say, we can't do this. Okay, fine. So we're going to set a tent up outside of these restaurants. We're going to take orders. We're going to go over there and we're going to eat our food and protest right in front of the Tri-County Health Department. I mean, that's the kind of thing the Democrats, you know, have been doing successfully. And I think we need to look at some of the things they've done successfully. But again, to me, the biggest thing is we need to change our attitude. We need to call it if you disagree, because maybe I'm wrong, but this is just my thought. It's not going to go back. We need to say this is the new reality that we live in. Donald Trump, even if he loses, has shown us how it works. We need to figure out how to play by those rules, tweak whatever we can tweak. But in the meantime, Ben, to fight in every way that we can fight. And I think to a certain extent, you know what? Twitter censors us. Well, then boom, you can go on Parler. YouTube censors us and you go on Rumble. I mean, there are ways around it. And I think we just need to start all just the people. I think in a way it's always been just up to us too, don't you think?
Well, I don't think we've ever been abandoned quite in the way we have. Ben had to indicated he had to be a doctor's visit, but he pointed out that Matt Crane, who is a widely respected,
Arapahoe County
clerk, his wife has been, and he's not, he lost in 2018 to a real hack who urged everyone to vote early and often, which is a Democratic mantra.
Yeah, they weren't kidding. They're not kidding.
she was for like a decade. So that's how long they've been playing this. And you know it's corruption.
Well,
you
Matt
know,
Crane's wife works for Dominion.
So what's Matt going to do when they said, hey, what machine would you like over in Arapahoe? Oh,
Dominion seems like a good one. And what is he going to do?
And then he had Williams, the Secretary of State. Wayne Williams. And Scott, Dominion. We got to get Dominion. So they down in Georgia, Rathberger, the Secretary of State, has refused to have any transparency, won't release the list. He's clearly a Democratic operative. But he ran as a Republican.
I would even go further. This is where I go back to. We got to take it on ourselves. There are establishment Republicans who basically are happy. I'm sure that there was a reason that Matt Crane, exactly. These people have their piece of the pie and they don't want to give it up. They don't care if the election is corrupt. I mean, how can anyone sit there and say, I mean, you can maybe say it doesn't make a difference. You can say, I don't care. We're going to start winning again when we look at it the way the Democrats do. And that's
our own Dominion voting one.
Right.
Counts up tens of thousands of votes for Donald Trump and none for his opponent. But we got
Mark.
Mark has popped up. Mark?
Hi, guys.
Hey there.
Can you hear me?
We can. Hey, and before you go further, I just want to say to you and actually everybody, I love it, the stuff that you send me. It's hard to see. I mean, you guys are our eyes and our ears out there, so just appreciate all of that.
Oh, thanks. You're welcome. Chuck, I agree with you about, I spent the weekend thinking about what they've done, and they cheated, and they've taken the election away, and it's clear to me that Dominion cheated across the board. It went to the Supreme Court, and the three people that Trump put on the Supreme Court didn't say a damn word.
No, they got their piece.
I'm mad as hell. Because I'll tell you what, they went to their own private colleges, every damn one of them.
Yes.
They went to their own private schools. They got their education. They got on the Supreme Court because they were conservative people and they abided by the Constitution. And they all went to work for other Supreme Court justices, and they went in there with great records. They're supposed to be great speakers. They're supposed to have great knowledge about what they're doing, and they didn't say one darn word.
No.
Nothing. We heard absolutely nothing of them.
We got a lifetime appointment. They're all set. They don't care.
And not only that, because Mark, I agree. At the very least,
I think they do have lifetime appointments now. Go ahead and do this and let the Democrats win. They didn't speak up about it. And what's going to happen if somebody doesn't do something real fast? Does anybody really believe the two Senate seats
are
going to go forward? They're going to lose them. And then they're going to get a lot of friends on the Supreme Court to help them out and help them decide.
They don't care. They'll still get their salary. They're all set.
I mean, they didn't even allow the hearing, right? I mean, they don't, and the mainstream media is complicit with it. It covers it up.
Fox.
That's what I'm saying.
The guy who started MyPillow, he was saying
Mike Lindell.
He was saying Fox.
Well, my son's been telling me to go to the Epic Times.
Yep, yeah, Epic Times. Yeah, yeah. You've got Newsmax. You've got
and they give you for like more. They'll give you 3 months for $3 or $4.
Right.
And I did it today and went on there and went all over the place and looked. They're actually showing all the hearings that are going on because there's a lot of activity that doesn't show up anywhere on the media anyplace.
Well, they want us all to believe, number one, they wanted us all to believe it was over before the election was even over, Mark.
Yes,
now they're telling us, and they keep saying, Trump needs to stop. Why does he need to stop? Then they say, well, it's over today. Well, no, it's not over today. It's not over until Biden is sworn in.
And
now
it shouldn't be over then. It wasn't over for Trump. Once he was sworn in.
Right.
I agree, Chuck. It shouldn't be over. And guess what? If Trump actually loses this thing, I think it's a brilliant idea for him to get on Air Force One, go to Florida, and have a rally at the same time they're swearing in Biden. And I hope he talks about how
corrupt
the facts of life are. They're corrupt. They didn't really win. Adam West is both a black man and a veteran, and he's a conservative republic that I think sharp as all get out. And he said originally that he thought that Texas should leave the succeed. Now his position is, wait a minute, what's wrong with the law? The people that abide by the Constitution can say the rest of the people can leave. So we can get California, New York, and the rest of them to succeed because we're abiding by the law. Julie, I really disagree. I think we have to go back to the law the way it is. And a lot of people are really upset, and they're saying, I'm not going to be the first one that starts a civil war, and I'm not going to be the first one that shoots the first shot. And I don't know when he talks about black rifles, what our friend is talking about, but it's going to get really nasty if the Democrats don't want to play with the law. It has to be, because we just can't give up our everything we've ever done. No, I've got relatives that died for this country. No, and I think they're rolling around in their graves going crazy right now.
In a way, Mark, I agree with you. And yet I also think we have to be realistic. Look what they've done in Colorado. What they're going to go in and do, I believe, is they're going to change the law. They're going to say anyone can, they're going to change the law to say anyone can vote anywhere, anytime. There's not going to be any signature validation. You can register the same day in multiple states. They're not going to double check. They're not going to throw it out. And then they're going to continue to rig the systems that have bribed them, you know, to be the Dominion people. And they're going to continue to rig it. So even if you have happened what we saw happen here, where Donald Trump was winning in spite of all of their tricks, then they just change the count. I mean, I understand. And I want to think that we can, you know, maybe turn it back to one person, one vote. But I don't know. I don't think.
I know all my friends think I'm a Republican and I'm not. I'm an independent, and I'm a mad as hell independent. I've always voted for what I thought was meritocracy. I voted for the people that I thought were the best, not the worst. And we're turning out the absolute worst people, and it's just infuriating.
Yes.
And I agree with Adam West. I do not know what's wrong with the law. I think we need to get back to the law, and if they want to change things, then we can get in there and help them change it. But if they want to board up polling places so we can't see them, we can also go in there and open the doors.
I agree with you there.
If we have to.
I agree with you, Mark. Hey, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Appreciate you listening. Yeah, appreciate it. Hey, now we've got John Conlon, a columnist who has a recent column up in American Thinker. And so, John, hey, first off, thank you for your time today, and thank you for that great article. Appreciate it.
Oh, great. Thanks for having me.
Tell everybody about yourself.
And then your article.
Yeah, the important part. I'm a Colorado native. I grew up in a little town called right outside of LaSalle by Greeley. Got my undergraduate degree at CSU in geology. Went to CU, got my MBA. Have a varied background in management consulting, driving organizational change, and things like that. And as my wife reminds anyone who listen, I'm on my soapbox most of the time. So that article was just more of the soapbox. And I kind of, Walter E. Williams, who kind of died unexpectedly, and I like probably a lot of people, first heard of Walter E. Williams when he was guest hosting for Rush. Mm-hmm. And he was a very intelligent guy, a funny guy, right far more times than he was wrong. But at his death, it just struck me once again. We have all these great thinkers, whether it's him, Thomas Sowell, Friedrich Hayek, von Mises, Milton Friedman, you know, great thinkers who are right about a lot more things than they're wrong. Yet you look at their impact on the education of our children and public policy has been almost nil. I mean, we you know, socialism's on the march today, something that's never worked in the history of mankind. And so that was my article of trying to examine that and say, you know, why is this? How can this be?
Right. Well, and, you know, and let me get your thoughts on, you know, sort of the events of today. We're seeing on one hand, the Electoral College people are casting their votes. It's expected that Joe Biden will get enough of the electoral votes. The Trump people are saying, hey, we're still fighting. We're avenues in the court. A judge releases, we've been talking about the audit report on one of the Dominion machines, the Dominion machines in one county in Michigan that show atrocious fraud and how it worked. And so there are a lot of people, us included, who are saying, you know, it's not over until January 20th.
It's not over then.
And it's not over. I mean, your take on where things are now. And then the biggest question of all is, I think.
Well, let him talk about his article in particular, what his solution is. I read it and I thought it was very interesting.
Well, my article is there must be a reason. Okay. Why is this? Why did one of the primary political parties in this country almost nominate a self-avowed socialist twice? And in fact, if they played fairly, he probably would have won both times.
Right.
How can that be? And I think at its root, it's simply the scientific revolution was a transformation of the way we thought about ourselves, the world, how we fit into it. And it really developed the basis of science. And it's fact-based, and it's reality-based. There is a reality out there. But once it kind of stalled out after it left the hard sciences, and once you leave them, you enter the world of opinions, right? I mean, no one gets eye-bulging, spitting mad that 4 plus 4 equals 8, right?
Yeah.
But when we get to the political or the economic world, that's quite common. And why is that, you know? And, you know, politics, economics, I mean, I'm certain Chuck would agree, you can probably go find an academic piece in economics that will support any concept you can remotely think of, whether it's, you know, whether it's far left, far right, or in between. If we're really focusing on science and reality, it can't be that way. There is reality, and we should strive to discover it, whatever it may be, because we will be healthier, wealthier, more successful, happier if we accept this reality. So I think that's the root cause is so much of our society is still rooted in an opinion-based paradigm versus a fact-based paradigm.
And not only that, but they've changed it, though, too. I mean, you watch what the Democrats have done. They've changed it because now it's not we've said this before, it's not the truth, it's my truth. It's the reality, it's my reality. And the differences between the Democrats and the Republicans, I think, largely is and the Democrats say, and if I don't like your truth, then I'm going to silence you, censor you. And not only that, I'm going to destroy you and all your friends and your family. So it's not even... So they make up their own reality. And then if you try to say, well, wait a minute, you know, 4 plus 4 is 8, they're like, oh, racist. And, you know, and the next thing you know, you're out of a job.
Yes. I agree 100%. And those are the supposed people that, you know, they believe in science, right?
Right.
They're the ones that believe in science. So ultimately, I think that's the way we ultimately win this is we take a page from Saul Alinsky's training, which is hold them to their own standards. So they say they believe in science, fine. Then let's hold them to those standards and not allow them to, you know, your reality, my reality. That assumes that we're all little gods. You know, there's 7 billion of us on the planet. Does each one of us get their own reality? I mean...
No, we only get their reality, John. That's the difference. We only get their...
So what's your solution?
Yeah, how do we get there? Because I think I absolutely agree with you, but what do you do?
We're talking to John Collin, who wrote a great article in American Thinker. He's a Coloradan, and so bring him on.
Well,
so what's your solution, John?
I think in my management consulting, I generally do top-to-bottom reorganizations, and generally... You have to start with a blank slate. You can't bring any of the past with you if you're going to build something new. And you have to begin at the beginning. And although it gets many people upset, and it shouldn't, the beginning of us is we evolved on this planet. We're a natural part of this world, and nothing we can build, nothing we can do can exist outside of this reality. And I think once you do that, then you see things like the impact of swarm intelligence that has led to the success of not just humans, but of this society. That's what the founders kind of, you know, individual freedom and limited government, it factually is what works. And there are factual reasons for why it works. And there are factual reasons why large government institutions, powerful organizations like that don't work very well.
You know, actually,
well, let me ask you this question. I mean, if you look around the world, there are very few places that have limited government and promote individual empowerment. In fact, I really can't think of any of them. But plenty of them with top-heavy governments, from China to wherever else you want to go. So if that is the solution, why does the mass of humanity all across the globe not adopt it?
They try to.
It's a great point, and I wish I could totally answer that, because I agree. If you were a rational person in any country other than this one on the planet, wouldn't you be pushing to copy verbatim our Constitution and to install it in your country? You know,
right.
There's never been a more successful country on the planet than this. And that's kind of where the dichotomy comes in that I see. A new way to plant potatoes or to grow potatoes spreads around the globe in an instant. And, you know, science spreads around the globe so quickly. But here's the solution for wealth creation, for ending poverty, to increasing happiness, well-being. It's right there in front of us. Yet countries around the world don't avail themselves to it. And idiots in this country seem to be doing their best to run as fast as they can away from it.
Well, here's why, I think, because you have to also remember human nature. And I think there is a big part of human nature that, you know, you like to take care of your stuff. You don't pay that much attention to the other stuff. I mean, you know, you got enough just kind of getting through your own day. I also think that people... There are a lot of people, this is harsh to say, but I think it's true. There are a lot of people out there who want someone to tell them what to do, right? And they want them to give them the answer. They want to hear the easy answer. They want to say, we're going to get rid of your college debt. Yay! I mean, without any thought over that.
Well,
let me just finish. And then you have, on top of that, you have a certain kind of person, politicians and bureaucrats, who are happy to jump in, and they lull us. They say, oh, we're going to help you. Don't worry. I'll decide for you. You don't have to decide, do I need a vaccine or don't. We're just going to tell you to get a vaccine. You don't need to decide this or that. We're just going to tell you. And all of a sudden, you wake up, and those institutions, the politicians and the bureaucrats, have completely taken over. And if you try to raise your hand up all of a sudden, you know, they squash you like a bug.
That very true. That's what they do. You know, people want power. People want power over others. Obviously, when there's individual freedom. See, I operate in the for-profit world.
Right.
The way that works is I have to convince you to voluntarily to part with your money for some good or service that I'm providing to you, and that drives all types of great and wonderful things. That process, where you know, government. Socialism, by definition, is about force and power, because people don't willingly give up their stuff. So they only do it because there's a threat. You'll go to jail. There's a gun associated with it. So, and it is without a doubt, you know, look at the last 100 years or so. It is clear it doesn't spread easily.
Yes. But I think what's good, though, what I see encouraging, again, about the current situation is they've pushed people to the point now, the bureaucrats and the politicians, to where they're not letting us go about and live our own lives. Not only that, they're shutting down our ability to earn a living, and they're shutting down our ability to get our kids educated. And that, I think, gets the attention of people who may not have been paying particular attention before. And I mean, that's my take on it. But what's your take on it?
Wait a minute. Hold on. People want power. They want power over other people, and they'll do what they have to do to get it. And once they get it, they never give it up. And George Washington may be the one exception or something.
Right. He is. So. Well, and actually, it's not just liberals who want that power. It occur when the Trump era first started, all the conservatives fighting, no, I speak for real conservatism.
Yeah,
no,
right.
I speak for real, you know, and that was all about power. It wasn't, you know, let's search for the truth. Maybe there's some truth here. Maybe, you know, we meld them and put them together. No, it was, you know, I say it, therefore it's true.
Well, where do we go from here? I mean, what do you see? Because I absolutely agree with you that the answer is individual freedom and individual rights
limited
and people
government.
And limited government.
But that's not what's out there.
So how do we get there?
I think,
sort of.
To me, Maxwell, the guy that, or Maxwell Planck, who did the Planck contest, and I don't know about your science background, but he was a titan.
Oh, yeah, but
Chuck Zolando, I've heard of it.
I love okay. Max Planck.
Okay, well, he was a titan of the scientific world, and he lamented in his biography that a new scientific theory doesn't advance by winning over adherents. What happens is the people who knew the old science slowly die off, and those right. who've been brought up on the new science take their place. Right. And so I think, you know, struggling to change adults' minds, it's not a fool's errand, but you're only going to have so much success. We have to go take back K through 12. I had another organization, yeah. in the Education Plantation, whose goal was to do that, to bring true freedom to K through 12 education, where you'd get, right. you know, for every kid that you got in school, you get $15,000 to be spent on the education of that child, and we unleash market forces. But from a societal standpoint, I think until we start changing young children's minds, we're going to continue losing.
Well, and that's hard to do because you look what's going on in Denver, right? The city of Denver finally gets to a place where parents have school choice, businesses like it, even the mayor likes it, right? I don't know that Mayor Hancock and Federico Pena agree on a whole lot, but they agree on the atrocious behavior of the current Denver Public School Board. And because what happens then? Well, the teachers union, who have money and power and bureaucracy, right? The first thing they destroy that pro-choice, parental choice school board, and they have now, they've got crazy people on the school board, all of whom are against school choice. I was reading a thing. They were refusing to okay a charter school, which had not, as I understand it, not one of the best, but the best sort of like records and educational output for kids in Denver. And they're like, nope, let's get rid of that because too many parents are choosing to send their kids there. So how do we fight? I understand you're absolutely right about education, but there too, I guess it goes back to individual rights and individual freedoms also go hand in hand with individual responsibility. And we just got to educate ourselves and make ourselves aware.
From a business guy and a marketing guy perspective, you know, how do we go out and sell that product? I think I think the school choice movement has failed miserably on this, is poor people have to lead. Okay. If you are poor in this country, I don't care the color of your skin, but if you are poor in this country, your kids are getting screwed by the public education system. I mean, that's just the way it is.
I don't agree with that at all. Denver had a system.
Well, they had.
Had a system where because the people who were, you know, wanted to sell homes wanted
the developers wanted
developer
it.
Wanted it. That you really had a pretty wide choice of schools, and they had, if you didn't get your first one, you get your second one, and not the second one, the third one. Where you got screwed if you were a kid is if you had a parent who didn't care. He says, I don't care where you go. I'll have you just go off to the local school here.
And yeah,
as long as you cared. And quite frankly, I grew up with a lot of Jewish kids, and they came over, their parents or grandparents came over, and they cared enormously about education, notwithstanding the fact back then anyway, they were incredibly poor. So if you're getting screwed, it's because your parents, at least in Denver, now
they're changing it though.
Now
yeah.
they're changing it, so you're screwed even if your parents do care. But then you got to leave Denver.
They got to leave Denver
because it's coming off a place. But you don't have to be screwed.
I agree, but if we look specifically like at poor minorities and stuff, you know, the Democrat Party, as part of the war on poverty's goal was to destroy the black family, right? Yeah. I mean, that's fairly.
I'm not sure it's their goal, but they sure did it.
Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, Walter E. Williams wrote about it. It's, you know, about illegitimate births before the war on right. poverty, you know, educational achievement. Just the black family was doing quite well until the war on poverty. So right. in some ways, I find it wrong to now blame the victims of this policy,
yeah.
whose families have been destroyed, who, you know, it's one thing to say you care, but if you got a crappy education and your grandparents got a crappy education, you don't have the personal resources, even if you want to help your kid, you probably don't have the personal resources, and I'm not talking financial, I'm just talking, you know, abilities, mental learning, you know, books that you've read.
Well, the value there. I mean, yes, exactly. That it's clear, different. I mean, that's in a way sort of the major issue
and
of educational systems.
You know, I live in the competitive world, and competition is a bitch. Once it starts, it just operates on its own. And it drives you, whether you might go kicking and crying, you might go baby tantrum style, but you either move along or you die. So,
well, nobody who's in
business,
which
is why they want to get rid of it.
Nobody who's actually in business ever says, I love competition, because it means they're squashing their opponents. If you really are in the middle of a competition war where you're driving the prices down, doing it all, it's terrible.
It makes it, I mean, you know, you think you've got the next greatest thing and somebody leapfrogs you, or someone from, you know, out of the blue comes in with a different concept. It's so incredibly dynamic. Most people don't understand, because of our poor public education system, how incredible dynamic it is. But I think that's, you know, the country on average spends about $15,000 per kid, per pupil, per year. If we would just give them the money. In some state-regulated environment, I understand you can't just be handing out checks. You know, even these poor people that, Chuck, you were talking about that don't really give a damn, you put a check of $15,000 in their hand and say, you got to spend this for your kid's education, and there will be hucksters, I'm certain, that will come along and try to take them. But that stuff all kind of gets worked out in the wash.
It can't be worse than the public education system. It's not how much you spend per pupil, it's how much you shovel over to each teacher the money.
Hey, well, John, listen,
great to talk with you, John.
Yeah, where can people find out more about you and read more of your columns? I know, you know.
Well, you can search for my name. That article was in American Greatness. Nonprofit is called EIC Enterprises. But, you know, I think a lot of the friction that we see today, whether it's political friction, you know, just I think that's symptoms of a deeper reality, and that deeper reality is, in large swaths of our lives, we think opinions matter, and they don't. My opinion doesn't matter. Chuck's opinion doesn't matter. I know that shocks him, but it doesn't. Only reality matters. The truth matters, and we need to focus on discovering that.
Yeah, and that's a good point to emphasize that. John,
thank you so much for your time.
Great to
have you. I'll be back sometime.
All right, thanks much, and take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, you know, and I agree with him in the part that, and that's, I guess, what I'm saying in a way, too, is we have to, which is what we try to do on this show and other shows like it, try to do. One of the things, even though YouTube, Google, everybody tries to censor you, is just keep kind of saying, here's the truth. The truth is that the election actually isn't over yet. The truth is that the Dominion machines did change things. The truth is that there was this.
Our elections are crooked. Even what's legal is crooked, because the same day registration, you just ship 700 people over to a district.
And I think that in part, one of the ways to find solutions is, I mean, I still think we need to be looking differently. I think it's going to be very hard to try to put the genie back into the bottle, given the way the Democrats have taken over the country and the election system. But maybe. But I think it starts just with information. I always, as a reporter, thought, this is back in the old days, where it's like, you know, like, I just put information out there, and then you trust people, which is naive, I know, but you trust people to make the right decision with that information. And we may disagree on some of that, but I think John is absolutely right. I think it's really important that what we do is focus on facts and keep saying, right, that's not true. That climate stuff you're talking about, not true. A man is not a woman. A woman is not a man.
Joy!
It's like, it's just keep saying, not true, not true. Hey, listen, that's going to kind of wrap it up for us today. Yeah. This goes fast.
It does.
Want to remind you, you can get everything you need to know with us at chuckandjulie.com. We're going to start sending out a newsletter before the shows. Don't worry, we won't spam you, because I don't know how to. And we're going to give we can give you some of Chuck's picks, some of the articles or the columns that we take a look at every day.
Yeah.
Chuckandjulie.com gets everywhere. We're on Podbean. Would love to have you like us and subscribe on YouTube and on Rumble, if you're on Rumble now. Let's see. Wednesday, I think we're going to try to get, he doesn't know this, so Dr. Brian Jundep on. He's got some interesting columns that are out there today, too. Thank you to John. Thank you to Nate. Remember, Taco Tuesday every day this week.
Go down 221 Pearl Street or Perry Street and get a free lunch. He's banned the whole thing. Go over
and protest.
To the band and harass some awful health workers.
All right. And thank you, as always, to the great folks at BBS.
Take care.